welcome back to another episode of Professionals Podcasting. In this episode, attorney Meredith Spott answers the question, are clients ever concerned about their spouse remarrying?
Actually, that's a great question. A lot of times we are talking to, you know, husband and wife, and they have children, and maybe they have joint children. And it's often a question of, well, what if I pass away, but then my husband meets someone new? What happens then? Will my children or our children be protected? And that's a really important question, because right now we have lots of blended families, right? There's a lot of families that are just blending due to divorce or obviously upon a death. And it's okay, obviously, for them to be happy. But there's usually some things you got to plan a little bit differently when you do have a blended family. So somebody has sort of like the Brady Bunch. I come in with three kids, husband comes in with three kids. Let's make sure that it's going to the right people upon the death of one or upon the death of the second, right? And unfortunately, it's actually the most litigated issue in trust administration or even in probate. What I mean by that is often the people that are out there trying to be, you know, trying to exert their rights, it's second spouse versus children from the previous marriage. And perhaps the children from previous marriage are a little bit like frantic because, wait a second, dad told us that we were getting something. And then all of a sudden, they're not. And surviving spouse, you know, was basically saying, no, I was supposed to get everything. And it's hard to tell whether dad's intentions was really, truly, you know, fulfilled. And I say that because, yes, you can give it to anyone that you want. Your estate can go to anyone. However, if perhaps the second spouse highly encourages you or through undue influence, forces you to go to an estate planning attorney, sign something over, and all of a sudden second spouse receives the funds as opposed to the children from previous marriage, which is what maybe the decedent really wanted to happen. Okay. And according to one study, right, it said that after 25 months, and that's only what, 2 years, 61% of men actually remarry. 61%. And then for women, much lower. Most of my female clients are like, I'll never do that again. I won't marry again. But it's still, you know, a percentage. It's about 19% of women remarry by the month of 25, right? 2 years after the death of the first spouse. So how do we, you know, what do we do? So before I go into some of the recommendations for that, I do want to share a few stories because I think stories drive the point home. The first one I call the grocery store rendezvous. I have a client, so I did their estate plan about, I say now 15 or 16 years ago, and everything was going to go to the three sons, very straightforward. Wife dies unexpectedly, I want to say maybe 2 or 3 years after our conversation and our initial estate planning meeting. Husband, now he's in his late 80s. Early 90s, and he meets someone at the grocery store. So he meets someone who's in her 50s, and really they start talking. She starts coming over. She starts making dinner for him on a, you know, routine basis. And she had young children of her own. How did I even know about that? Well, the three sons were concerned about dad. And, you know, you might think, well, what does that mean, right? Why should they be so concerned? He's a grown man. Well, the three sons were worried about somebody like this woman swooping in to try to encourage funds going to her, encourage getting married and all of that. So, you know, it was a very tough situation, I think, as a estate planning attorney, because I need to stay out of the family situation. But I did give a call. I called him just to check up on my client. Hey, how's it going? What's going on? And he was very like happy to tell me about the woman. and said that he's just having a good time with her, and that he was mad that the three sons, were even questioning his intentions or questioning what he's doing. So he's basically saying, you know, this is my life and I should be able to do whatever I want, which is true, right? Fast forward, I want to say, you know, I left it alone. And a year later, I touched base again with him. And, you know, it turned out that, you know, he had his mental capacity and he was a smart man. And he had accumulated quite a bit of money. So I want to say about $3 million. He ended up telling me that, oh, yeah, we just spent some time together, but then now it's done. Okay. Good. And he was fine. And he enjoyed the time that he did spend with her. So I would say he was smart enough to know better. He was mentally capable of understanding. I don't know if the sons had any influence, but I guess in my world, that was tragedy diverted. And about, I want to say by age 94, he had passed away. Everything went to the three sons. So that was my one story that I think is a good one. The second story I'm going to share with you is I did not fund my trust properly story, moving from state to state. So woman lived in Tennessee, had some, you know, property there. She meets a gentleman, wants to get married. She sells her home in Tennessee because they're moving to Texas. And she created a will and trust in Tennessee and put her house in trust in Tennessee, sold it, took the proceeds from that sale, bought a new home in Texas with her new husband, brand new husband. And she just puts, you know, her name on it, not thinking that perhaps she should have put it in a trust. So she didn't put in the trust, and sadly, she dies shortly after just moving to Texas. So decedent woman had two children from a previous marriage, and that's what the will originally said. Everything's going to, children from previous marriage. However, when she died, the property was in her name alone. And then she now has a new husband and barely married less than a year. The house had to be split up. So he actually lived it was in litigation in Texas. He lived in the house for about 5 years. And basically, children from previous marriage had to deal with him for all those 5 years. Eventually, he also passed and the money got to all of them. However, the story or the moral of the story is, had she put the house in trust, perhaps, you know, this husband wouldn't have received anything. And then now his children received his portion upon his death. So there's a lot of moving parts. I know that you're busy and trying to get everything done and moving is a big deal, but it's really important to have everything done right in your estate plan, where you create a trust and then you actually title everything in trust so that everything goes the right way. So that is story number two. Story number three is something that's fairly recent. I call it the 2 cents story. So I had a woman who called us that was a grandchild of a decedent. So her grandfather passed away. And her grandfather was well into his late 80s. And grandma passed away, I want to say maybe 2 years prior, and grandma was sick for a very long time. Grandma had a very good caregiver that took care of grandma while she was dying and, you know, lived within the home. Shortly after grandma's death, grandpa and caregiver had a relationship. And all of a sudden they're married. And then all of a sudden, granddaughter, the person that was calling me, was saying that they were forbidden to see their grandfather. They barely saw their grandfather the last year and a half before his death. And then all of a sudden, upon his death, she gets some paperwork from a lawyer that says, okay, the will says I am giving 2 cents to each of my grandchildren because they didn't give 2 cents about me. They didn't care about me. My client was crying because she really treated her grandparents like her parents because they helped to raise her. So caregiver was in her 50s. Decedent was in his 80s. Did they love each other and have a beautiful marriage? We don't know. Granddaughter really didn't know much about her. Did they sign some paperwork without him really understanding what he was signing? Possibly. But it would be a long uphill battle for her to fight that. It would have to be lots of evidence presented that he wasn't in the right mind, sound mind and body. So it's quite, you know, it's crazy how somewhat easy it can be for somebody to come in and say, I love you and we're together. And I hate to be this, you know, judgmental, but with a 30 to 40 year age gap, and then all of a sudden the rest of the family is just out of the picture. Nothing for the rest of the family. New family comes in, and then her family pretty much gets all the assets because when she dies, it goes to her family. So that's another sad story. Last story that I'm going to share with you is a person who I loved him. He was an incredible businessman. He came from Germany and he did a lot of things basically creating reflectors on bicycles and all those things that you see for construction workers. So built an amazing business with this. And he was single. He was starting to be a little more forgetful. And he lived in a townhouse. His son was wondering like, oh no, maybe. So he was starting to either wander or leave the oven on or leave the, and so the police would have to come and check on him. He only had one son. And so the son was like, okay, Dad, we need to do something. So the business itself was being managed by other people, but he was the majority owner. And son said, okay, I'm going to take you to a senior facility and living there. Okay, sounds good. He lives in a senior facility, somewhat independent / assisted living, moves him in. And shortly thereafter, I want to say a month or two later on, about two doors down from this person, the gentleman, my client, starts to spend more time with him. And within a few months, she's like, let's move in together. I mean, it was fast. And so sadly, what we had to do was get a guardianship proceeding started before anything happened that was going to be bad. But she worked her magic or tried to work her magic by trying to get him married. They were going to go to Mexico and get married, you know, all these different things. And granted, I've just told you that he wasn't necessarily in the best frame of mind, but he was enjoying the attention, of course. Luckily, the court proceeding prevailed. It took a while. It took a while because she was also fighting for her rights to be the wife of this person. And eventually it took about 6 months before we were able to appoint the son as the legal guardian for Dad. And he was not allowed to get married. He was not allowed to do any of those things because he was not in the right frame of mind. Lo and behold, about a month after that decision was made, the woman was no longer interested in him. And, they stopped seeing each other. I think she even moved out of the facility. So that's just another sad, to me, it's like, it's those stories that you just wonder if there's nobody out there looking out for your family members, how easy it is to take advantage of people who aren't necessarily, completely cognizant, completely in with capacity that they would do things that are abnormal, right? So those are the stories. I mean, it's a lot. I know. It's, you think so many people tell me, oh, my wife will never remarry. My husband would never remarry. And I tell them these stories and these statistics, and then they're like, maybe I should think about it. So what do we do? What's the solution? Well, the solution is to get your plan in place, get something written down, preferably a living trust that has remarriage provisions and prenup requirements for any surviving spouse. So those are the two things that I highly, highly recommend in every document. It doesn't matter if you trust your husband 100%, 100 and whatever, you think he's never going to get remarried. Just put it in just in case. And then to add a little bit of belts and suspender protection, I would also recommend adding a co-trustee with the surviving spouse. So if you do have a child, an adult child that you trust, let them be a co-trustee upon the death of one person. What does that entail? Well, it doesn't mean that they have to be in their business 24/7 with respect to finances. It just means that anytime there's any changes to the trust, anytime there's big changes to like selling a house or opening up a new account, the son or daughter would have to be involved in that decision. Right. So if the surviving spouse meets someone new and all of a sudden they're putting people's names on it and or spending lots of the cash kind of uncontrollably and you're like wondering what's happening, then this person can actually just watch out and say, hey, what are you doing now? And, you know, being more of an overseer, not necessarily a person that has to be, you know, deeply involved in their finances and paying bills with them and all of that. Although they can eventually do that if the person loses capacity, that's also an option. So this moral of this long story is get your documents done. Get them done. Get them done immediately. And then secondly is continue to redo it and update it. We want to make sure everything's in the trust and that all of your wishes are in the trust that's updated. So if it's different 5 years from now, then let's update it. Or 10 years from now. Certainly I have zero, I'm not against people remarrying because obviously it's for also companionship and love and all sorts of things. I'm more of a cynic in a sense of because of what I do. I just want to make sure the person who earned this money or owns the assets, their wishes are actually listed properly and that it's documented and making sure that the family is protected. So that's usually just my role. Let them get married, but let's protect the money. And that's about it. Hopefully that answers the question for all of you. And of course, give us a call if you ever have any other questions with respect to this topic. Thank you.